If you would turn to the 16th chapter of Acts, we'll be reading through verses 1 through 6. Today's message is called Raising Up and Releasing Timothys. Whether male or female, the application applies. This is a basic church series that we're going through to help you to understand that the church is not a place where we conduct religion. Church is where we assemble for the training of the saints to do the works of the ministry and understanding God's greater purpose in that. Are we there at Acts 16, verses 1 through 6? Are we there? Do we have Bibles for everybody? We're good? Acts 16, starting verse 1. This is Paul. He says he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, and whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, and whose father was a Greek. The brothers of Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. He circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the provinces of Asia. There's a lot within these six scriptures, but I want us to focus on Timothy. Okay? We've been talking about the function of the church and a multi-generational church, and some of these things you can really begin to understand. First of all, Timothy was a product of a mixed relationship. In those days, they didn't look at your ethnical group, they looked at your religious affiliation. Okay? And so they believed that this was a mixed relationship. Today, in the modern world, they look at mixed relationships as black and white, Hispanic and white, Orientals and blacks. I mean, whatever color scheme you want to call it, that's how they look at mixed marriages. In all actuality, it's about a belief system. Okay? A mixed marriage in Christ is a believer and a non-believer. That is a mixed marriage. And some of you can relate to that. Some of you have husbands who profess to a faith. I don't know what their faith is, because they should be wanting to be a part of what God is doing, not sitting home assimilating whatever they assimilate. God has a call in their lives, and God wants to use their lives for the furtherance of His kingdom. Timothy, being this byproduct, was part of a multi-generational church. We see this attested to that he was raised by his grandmother and his mother, signifying that there was at least three generations in his own personal life of people speaking into his life. The other aspect of it was that he was not left unto his own self, but he had a great rapport by the brothers, or the men of those churches in whom that he was being spoken to, mentored, examples of how to live a Christ-like life, how to become effective in this. So much were they impressed that they told Paul, the apostle, that this guy was ready to go out on ministry, to go to mission fields, to go and do the works of the ministry. And understand, he did this when he was 15 years of age. 15 years of age. A little bit of history of Paul. Paul had Timothy for a long time. He dealt with him in areas of ministry, so much so that when they went to Jerusalem, and I'm talking years now, that when they came back, Paul had actually put Timothy in charge of the church of Ephesus. He was 20 years of age at the time. So there was 5 years in which he was in a mission field, he was doing things, he was working with other ministry leaders. He was very proactive in working with the apostles, men of faith, in order to fulfill his call in Christ. It was later said that through history, that as he was confronting the false teachers, and we see this in 1 Timothy, which was why he was consigned there to deal with the false teachers who were bringing extra biblical doctrines into the church. It's really only loving God and loving each other, which is really the basic doctrines here. But Paul, we see here, exercised the art of, or the act of circumcision, which that appeased the Jews. It doesn't matter in Christ, because what matters is if your heart has been circumcised by the Spirit. Later on, as Timothy's ministry began to expand, they were having a pagan festival of which some of the members of his church participated in. And he went out into the streets and he confronted them about they can't live for Christ and they can't live for their pagan idols, because it's kind of like in Haiti. Haiti does voodoo on one side and they do all the Christianese stuff on the other. You can't serve two masters. You either serve one and hate the other, or you serve the other and hate the previous one. And so what Timothy was doing was confronting them, and these people raised up against him, beat him, dragged his body through the streets, and a few days later died of his wounds. That's what it means to be a Christian, biblically. And I sense in the spirit of what God is trying to do is exhort us from our passivity and our prone position, which is sitting in a chair and watching the boob tube, because you know you are what you watch, what you take in. And unfortunately for us, we allow that piece of electronics to dictate to us how we're going to live our lives for Jesus Christ, instead of allowing the Word of God and the reality of what Christ has purchased your life and my life for really sink into to the depths of our soul and understand just how much we owe Him and how little we feel obligated to fulfill that end of the bargain. Timothy died for what he believed in. Every man of faith dies for what they believe in Christ. Because there are faith people that are out of Christ doing things. And I want you to understand the difference. There are religious people out there that believe in what they're doing. Paul was one of them when he persecuted the church. And he was a Judaizer. He was a Pharisee. And then Jesus knocked him off his horse. And the rest is history. We have to begin to cultivate an understanding that in America especially, we have been programmed against the will of God. Let me say that again. We have been programmed against the will of God. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean that, what do you think about? What consumes you most in your life? Is it the bills you got to pay? Is it the relationships that you're in? Is it your job or lack of job? Is it the time that you have to work? Is it your families? Lack of families, lack of relationships. You have the greatest relationship at hand, and you don't even develop that relationship, and that's the relationship with Jesus Christ. Timothy had a good report by the brothers in the fellowship that were discipling him. What report do I have to give to you or about you to Pastor Tusi or the other apostles or other pastors who are looking for people, what do you think I would say? Something to think about. You see, you weren't built just for streams. You were built in order to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And you're no threat if you're still the same as you were last year, 2 years ago. You're no threat. Why? Because you're in passivity. You're in a neutral position. You're not going forward, you're not going backwards. And I always say, if you're not going forward, you are going backwards. Because you're backsliding in increments. To be a dynamic, multi-generational church, we must have our minds renewed. In working with Ed through some elementary elements, I would test him. I'd say, what's the first principle? What's our number one principle? What's the second principle? What's our third principle? You're close, but you're absolutely right. Those are three basic principles that should be part of our repertoire that if I should ask you at any time, you should be able to spit them out because that's part of you. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is by seeking the kingdom first and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. What things? Everything that you need that pertains to life is found in Christ Jesus. Your health, your healing, your jobs, your money, everything is found in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, for those who give themselves for the kingdom, have I not promised that you will reap a hundredfold in this life and in the life to come? What he was saying was, you have such a fellowship of believers around you that you should not be in want of anything. They should be there to meet your needs. And one of the things that we're thinking about, and we're going to be talking today in the leaders meeting, is how to use our electronics in such a way to receive donations so that we can get into a building. We've talked about and we've seen it, and Ed and I have talked about how people have professed that they had these needs and they're asking for, say, $50,000 was the example. And in a week's time, they had $100,000 because it was streamed to the web and believers helped each other. That's what it's supposed to be. See, our dilemma is we're moving in the right direction. We're just not accelerating what we need to do. Timothy wanted to be used of God. He wanted his life to count for something, not just count in a pew. When I first got saved, I didn't know any better. I just thought that when I got blasted by the Holy Spirit, that was the way of life. And my family got blasted by the Holy Spirit. And when I come in contact with people that are not on fire for God, I wonder, what is going on here? You see, I was a Timothy. I was one time a Timothy. And Irene will tell you, I chased after men of faith. I ran to meetings. I did everything I could to find out how to be a man of God. How to be a man of God and raise up a godly family. How to be a godly husband to my wife. I wanted to know, because you know what? My marriage reflects Jesus Christ to the world. My relationship to my wife not only reflects to you, but also to my children as an example of how godly people are to be. Are you chasing down people to find out what makes their marriage successful? That's part of being a Timothy. Whether you're male or female, that's part of it. Young ladies, don't be looking to your friends. Look to the women in your life here at Streams to help you in areas of difficulty. The boys will lie to you. The only truth that they're going to say to you, man, you're pretty. And everything after that is a lie. You get what I'm saying, Jess? And Mom's been saying it, right? She hasn't been talking to me, but I have one. Let me tell you a little story. One of the guys that wanted to date Jesse, I just happened to pull my shotgun out. This is true. This is true. And I'm cleaning it out, and her friend comes up. And he comes in, and we start talking, and I'm cleaning my gun. And I said, "Mark, what's going on?" He goes, "I was just wondering if I could." I said, "Yeah?" As I'm cleaning my gun. I said, "Yeah? What?" He couldn't even tell me what he wanted because he was so intimidated. Because my answer would have been no anyhow, because I wanted to protect my daughter. And of course, this is one of her friends, even from that time. They have become really good friends. He's a heathen, but that's okay. We're going to win into Jesus Christ. Amen? Let me tell you about tragedy. Turn to 2 Kings 20. This is a tragedy. 2 Kings 20, verses 12 through 19. This is a story about Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. Now, you may say that the Old Testament doesn't have anything, but the Bible of the New Testament says that these are examples for us to learn from. Okay? 2 Kings 20, verses 12 through 19. We there? Okay, well, I got one yes. When I get two or three. Okay, we can move. It says in, starting verse 12, it says, "At the time, Merodach Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift because he had heard of Hezekiah's illness. Hezekiah received the messengers and showed them all that was in his storehouses. The silver, the gold, the spices, the fine oil, his armory, and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, 'What did those guys say and where did they come from?' 'From a distant land,' Hezekiah reported. 'They came from Babylon.' And the prophet asked, 'What did they see in your palace?' 'They saw everything in my palace,' Hezekiah said. 'There was nothing among my treasures that I did not show them.' Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 'Hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and in all your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left,' says the Lord. 'And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, there will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon.' 'The word of the Lord you have spoken is good,' said Hezekiah. For he thought, 'Will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? Will there not be peace and security in my lifetime?'" What was it that I had said to you 2 weeks ago? I was trying to get you to understand that Streams is building a legacy, which goes where? To you guys. But also show you that we have a destiny. And that destiny may not be fulfilled in my lifetime. And this is a great example of a man who stopped fighting and lost the vision. How can I say that? What we see here is these people came in to spy out the land. Not everybody who comes into the body of Christ is of Christ. They just want to see what they can get from you. Okay? And what happens with people who are stagnant, who are not Timothy's, who are not seeking to be raised up? They're not seeking to carry on the torch of what's going on. They become like Hezekiah. They forget what our forefathers did. And remember I said to you, the greatest weakness we have is we have forgotten our history as a church. As the church. Okay? We've forgotten what Jesus has done. We've forgotten what Paul's done, Peter's done. We've forgotten what John Knox has done. We've forgotten all these guys through all the centuries have done to get us to this place. And we are not fighting to keep it. What we're doing is showing everybody how wonderful God is. Ah, oh, He loves you. He provides everything for you. See, look. This is what He provides. He's wonderful. He loves us. Oh, I got such a good God. And the next thing you know, Your stuff is taken from you. Because he's good. He doesn't do bad things. And you're captured in sin. And the worst thing that happens is when your offspring have been neutered and you don't have any spiritual seed to propagate and continue to move forward in attacking the enemy, to continue maintaining our legacy and influencing the world with our sons and daughters, because now they're serving another king. I'm experiencing that in my own personal life. And I'm torn. I am righteously torn. Not that I have given up the battle. Not that I have forsaken the fight. I will pour into your lives if you want to be poured into. But I am not going to go down without a fight. I am not going to show everybody what God has done for us. That's none of their business. That's between us and God. You are the Timothys. You are the generation that God wants to come back for. And the faster you grab a hold of the idea and seize upon the understanding that you are spiritual people, you're not beggars. You are princes and princesses and kings and priests with a high calling. Your high calling isn't just to provide for your family. Your high calling is to expand the kingdom of your Father in heaven. That's your high calling. Whatever it is He has you to do. Your high calling is not to be a pew sitter. Your high calling is not to, well, I just think. Don't think. That's your problem. Do what He tells you to do, and He will move you into where you need to be. I never thought a person like me would stand here and preach with a burning heart's desire for my Father's kingdom to expand and to see His people move in power. But that was God's plan. I saw what He did for me. I saw what he has delivered me from. And I want that for you guys. I want that for the world. I am passionate about God. Why aren't you? Do you take Him for granted? Have you settled for the trinkets? Or do you believe the lies that the world is telling you that God is dead? Religion is nothing. You're right. Religion isn't nothing. It's a relationship. The most important relationship I ever entered into. Healed me and brought me life. Of which you're my grandchildren and children in the Lord. And I want to exhort you. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. He's exhorting us to get off our duff. There's more He wants me to do. He doesn't want us to be satisfied. How tragic it is to see the American church in passivity, running from church to church to see what God's doing instead of being used of God and see how He wants to use us. Have we forgotten the Main Street Festival so fast? Have we forgotten the lessons and seeing what God did with us and the joy that I observed on your faces ministering to people and watching the other churches look at us and ask me, how big's your church? What's that got to do with anything? How big's your God is the question. He who created the universe, in the song says he has us in His hand. Second Corinthians 13:5, and I'll be closing with this. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you failed the test. I'm not saying we failed the test. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we can't keep going on as if something's going to change or thinking that someone else is going to make a change. The change starts with you by the renewing of your mind. The change starts in you in being obedient to what God has told you to do. If you don't know what God wants you to do, that's where you need to come to talk to Irene or myself or both of us or the leaders. If you're intimidated about going in the pastor's office, which shouldn't be because we generally don't go in there unless we don't have room in some other room. But I want to ask you this. Examine yourself. What does the scripture mean by examining yourself? Have you ever thought about this? What do my priorities look like? Are they kingdom first or when I can fit it into my busy schedule? These are questions I ask myself. Do I chase after God and the man of God? Am I satisfied being passive and insecure? Not secure, because you're never secure being passive. Do I operate from faith or fear? Am I becoming more Christ-like or am I just pretending to be? Am I seizing opportunities being provided to grow in my relationship with God? Am I a believer? Am I a believer? Will this ministry survive if I'm removed? What ministry do you serve? And will it survive if something should happen to you? You see, raising up and releasing in a generational church is the seasoned saints pouring our lives into you. And as you begin to take over, we war with you. So that eventually, you guys are carrying in the front lines. And we help keep bringing the generations up behind you so that we do not miss a step. We, I'm speaking as streams, miss a step in God. Because we should be interchangeable. As I'm removed, someone should already be in place to be set in to take over. We shouldn't have to look outside, and we have covering, we have the network, that if we need someone to come in permanently or temporarily, that can be provided for us. But I believe God has men and women in here that are anointing. You are all anointed. It is your responsibility to find out what it is. And here's a key, young ladies and young men. Don't look at your age as if, well, you know, I'm only 12, I'm only 13, what can I do? Timothy was 14 when he went on a mission trip. He was 20 when he took the churches over, and he died at 22. He made his life count for something other than himself. He passed on the legacy. He rose up people to take over when he was gone. That's what we're doing here. That's not what the whole church does. The whole church has a program-based relationship. We have an intimacy relationship that pours one's life into another, getting to know each other, exhorting each other to go on with God and to take it to the enemy. As we're exhorting one another unto good works. Next week we're going to talk about your responsibility as a Timothy and becoming an entrepreneur in the Spirit. Amen? Father, we just rejoice in you, Lord God. Father, my heart burns. My heart burns for your people. My heart burns, God, for those who have not heard the truth, that have sat under a lie, that have not been accountable, that have been rebellious, God, to your word. And you tell us clearly that when you return, you're going to punish the wicked and those who are disobedient to the gospel. Those who thought they were in you, God. Father, I pray that we are found faithful and worthy of your kingdom. I pray, God, that as you lead us, God, that I have the courage to follow you even into the deeper waters. God, fill us with your strength. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your vision. Fill us with dissatisfaction of where we are, God. Fill us with your spirit of love that would consume us and burn in us so that the world would see how much you truly love all of us, God. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If anyone would like prayer...